And welcome to another episode of Enter the Labyrinth. So today we're going to be discussing, or I'm going to be discussing a little dream vision I had, but I'm going to be relating it to kind of like our consumerist culture and this feeling of like overstimulation and this like being overly inundated with stimuli from the external world and like how that shapes our desires. So let's enter the labyrinth. So it was dusk. I stood alone in a sprawling, chaotic marketplace, stalls stretched endlessly, you know, selling sleek, high-tech smartphones. The crowd was like full of anticipation. You know, I grabbed a device. Its screen lit up, flooding me with like flashes of buzzing alerts, each ping of my phone further itching my curiosity, for example. But it was a hollow thrill, right? As we all come to realize, those notifications often are. It was only to be replaced by a curiosity for more. So I found this tent with shifting, shimmering fabrics. And the sign above it read, "Future Fashion Today." And the clothing was hanging in the tent, whirling in the wind, transforming with each gust, you know. And my nose, though, later caught a scent. I arrived at a food stall. A blinking, flashing sign read, "Sleep your way to slim in the all-natural way." You know, those catchy marketing slogans, right? But further down the path, I found myself walking past various portals that appeared to lead to other lands. For example, other places, you know, like little circular portals that led to other lands. And signs were all around them. You know, they were promising exotic adventures, like these advertisements around it in this kind of like carnival-like marketplace. But each entrance unveiled a similar scene within those portals. You know, crowds of empty faces vying for those oh-so-necessary ideal shots of renowned landmarks. As we've all witnessed if we've done a vacation, right? And it's not even knocking that necessarily, but it's just the drive to do that. Where does that come from? But anyway, everyone was trapped in some unending cycle, you know, chasing an ideal of envisioned joy hollowed out by like marketing ploys. But the marketplace faded away. I found myself drifting in space while in front of a massive screen overlooking a massive forest of bamboo. Okay, so we live in this age of information overload. And with that brings the paradox of choice. We have choice paralysis. We have endless choice options. Choice is abound, for example. We have from streaming options, relationship swiping, you know, using Tinder and Hinge and constantly looking for that next best thing, even within a relationship where nothing is ever enough. And endless new products. We're faced with decision fatigue and hesitation due to the fear of missing out on other alternatives. And what's interesting is I think our culture often pushes us towards alternatives. It wants us to be driven towards alternatives and to seek out those options. It creates further data to market towards us. Our environments, especially urban, are full of these distractions, providing us like this endless sensory overload. Social media, for example, only amplifies this experience of FOMO, fear of missing out. You know, the continuous stream of others' experiences induces restlessness and discontent as our urge to compare ourselves to the filtered lives of others becomes inevitable, you know? And then just think about how much downtime is diminished, especially in like US culture, for example. It's shamed even, where you're seen as lazy if you have too much downtime, as though you're not doing enough. You are not enough, is what like the societal pressures will be telling you then. You know, in a productivity focused culture, for example, constant activity leaves little room for reflection. Reflection of the self, reflection of the external world, reflection of everything around you, you know, and what it all means in relationship to you and your relationship to others. those times of reflection are important, and we miss out on a lot of that, I think. And, you know, and then from that, do we truly wonder why the diagnosis of anxiety and depression in our culture continues to rise? Time for reflection allows us to declutter and understand our inner emotional state. But overstimulation guides us towards distraction, leaving us unexamined and more unconsciously moving with society's external stimuli, external pressures of what we should be doing. Okay, but let's consider how this overstimulation we experience can lead us to becoming desensitized, let's say, emotionally, if you know what I mean, right? So we are constantly bombarded with intense stimuli guiding us towards our next click, our next purchase, but maybe more importantly, our next story, our next experience. We live in this endless news cycle, for example, that pushes tragic story after tragic story, and inevitably leaving us with lowered experience of intensity of the emotional pull they should cause in, within those stories, right? Just think about how fast the news cycle moves past the latest mass shooting. That's just like an easy, obvious example. The desensitized person's perception loses depth and subtlety. We become numb, and the numbed individual no longer perceives the world with the same nuance because of this numbing. We need that emotional pull, that emotional feeling, and to feel that and have the opportunity to reflect on that to more fully understand the nuance of an experience, such as the mass shootings, of like, say, why they're happening, what is maybe causing the someone to be driven to do this, the access to guns, just like just the simple, not even trying to get into that whole debate, but just those are like, that's just like a simple example of that. So are we inevitably facing a diluted experience of reality because we are becoming desensitized and because of the constant stimulation and overstimulation we experience every day, the constant inundation, right? And I think Deleuze and Guattari's concept of assemblages connects well with this, I think, because assemblages are these dynamic networks of connections or interdependencies in some sense that we have with other humans around us and interactions that create our societal structures. They come in multiple forms. A city is a form of an assemblage with its buildings, roads, you know, inhabitants and cultural practices all contribute to the functioning and identity of the city. You know, same thing with like a piece of art, be it film, a painting, or a sculpture. That is also an assemblage of various elements that come together to convey a message or evoke emotions. Our bodies are an assemblage. And us being in a society while being like a desiring machine makes our very desire and drives that we have also an assemblage, where everything comes together into a structure that guides, dictates even, and even oppresses how we as individuals relate to the world and how those individuals relate to themselves. You know what I mean? Now, these structures, these assemblages, are not static. They are fluid and malleable. They're constantly reshaping and adapting to our interdependent relations and how those relations and those interdependencies create something new constantly. But sometimes you need new stimuli to do that. But think about our experience of overstimulation and intense external stimulation again, and how that's being like driven by, say, like the digital age and digital information or something along those lines. When this stimulation is incessantly thrust upon an individual, the resulting assemblage can become rigid and repetitive and predictable, our experience then becomes predictable and more easily controlled for that matter. And I think we need to remember that as humans, I think we love predictability. So once we figure out something and we're constantly being, have this like stimulation, an external stimuli pushing us towards that predictability, we move towards it because we're driven towards it. Even if it's harming us, we're driven towards it. You know, it's like if you become addicted to any substance, whether it can be food, it can be drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, a person can want to stop, but the comfort of it and the predictability of it drives us so much that we're just driven towards that thing, that comfort, that familiarity, right? And it's just predictable. Now imagine the individual bombarded by an unending stream of sensationalized news and graphic content. The connections formed within their mind gradually solidify into a structured assemblage, wherein certain thoughts, emotions, and reactions become closely linked. This assemblage, perpetuated by the unceasing influx of similar content that we're fed all the time, begins to constrict our range of experiences. We are then left operating in a loop of controlled and predictable experience. But why is this a problem? Like, to backtrack here, why is this a problem? Why does this matter? I think these rigid assemblages exert a restrictive influence on our encounters with the world. Our ability to engage with novel and nuanced experiences becomes hampered by the dominance of these predefined connections. Thus, right, the individual's capacity to encounter a broad spectrum of effects becomes stifled, leading us to have a more narrowed emotional range and consequently a more desensitized perspective of the world. You know, like, just take, if you've ever been on TikTok, you can quickly witness a small example of this, or even a large example to some extent, honestly. You witness a feed of carefully curated yet repetitive content. And then that almighty mystical algorithm, right? That's not actually so mystical, wishes to anchor us into a familiar pattern that prevents us from exploring diverse emotional territories. We like patterns. We are driven towards the familiar. We are driven towards the patterns. So algorithms, though, become masters at this. They are happy to provide us with what is safe, what is familiar. So the algorithm becomes our restrictive assemblage of experience and drives, right? It becomes like our little prison, self-made prison, but also a prison we were driven into. So we can find desensitization emerging as a consequence of these rigid assemblages, where our spectrum of experience is constrained and our emotional response dulled, right? But what can we do about this? Like, why does this matter? Why am I like ranting about this? And why does this really actually matter? You know, I think it's important for us to, maybe it's like a reminder, if this is like a, almost like a review for you. It's like, oh, this shit's obvious. But I think like understanding it with maybe new terms is important, you know, because like maybe we can start with drawing awareness to the assemblages we become aware of in our own lives and societally that are guiding our drives as desiring machines that we are. And to then alter our assemblages, we must seek out different and diverse experiences, different perspectives, different thoughts, you know, embrace uncertainty in some sense by consciously engaging with a broad spectrum of stimuli that can then allow for an emergence of novel connections. We can counteract the pull towards like rigid assemblages that leave us in a state of desensitization. Because in some sense, desensitization makes us become more plastic. It makes us become, in some sense, less human, or like maybe not less human, but less aware of others' humanity. So essentially embracing the fluidity of our assemblages and of assemblages itself, I think could help restore a sense of vibrancy in some sense, right? In our experiences and lead us towards a more enriched, sensitive and nuanced perspective of the world. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope I left you something to think about. And as always, thanks for tuning in. It's time for you to get the fuck out of my labyrinth.